Now we'll begin reading verse 31 to 34, and then I want you to look at Luke, the same chapter, go down to verse 54. Say amen when you have it.
Amen.
Luke chapter 22, I'm reading from the New King James Version. And the Lord said, Simon, Simon, indeed, Satan has asked for you that he may sift you as wheat. But I have prayed for you that your faith should not fail. And when you have returned to me, strengthen your brethren. But he said to him, Lord, I am ready to go with you both to prison and to death. Then he said, I tell you, Peter, the rooster shall not crow this day before you deny me three times that you know me. Down to verse 54. Having arrested him, they led him and brought him into the high priest's house. But Peter followed at a distance. Now when they had kindled a fire in the midst of the courtyard and sat down together, Peter sat among them, and a certain servant girl, seeing him as he sat by the fire, looked intently at him and said, this man also was also with him. And after a little while, another saw him and said, you also are of them. But Peter said, man, I am not. I don't know, Peter sounded like a brother there. Then after about an hour had passed, another confidently affirmed, saying, surely this fellow also was with him, for he is a Galilean. But Peter said, man, I do not know what you are saying. Immediately, what does it say?
Immediately.
While he was still speaking, the rooster crowed, and the Lord turned and looked at Peter. Then Peter remembered the word of the Lord, how he had said to him, before the rooster crows, you will deny me three times. And so Peter went out and wept bitterly. Pray with me as we think on the message. Cock-a-doodle-doo. Our Father and our God, speak to us now in clear tones. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. There are, I want this church family to know, conversations that take place that we know nothing about. There are discussions that take place that you and I are not privy to. Even right now, someone has the cell phone on vibrate. Someone has the cell phone, or maybe you already had a phone call, but there are words that are being transmitted via the airwaves that we know nothing about. Toward the end of World War II, Truman and Joseph Stalin and Winston Churchill got together in a meeting that no one else was invited to. No one else was privy to, Parker. And they divvied up Europe. Someone said wars are fought to change maps. And they had a discussion that changed the rest of the world. In 1972, Richard Nixon had a conversation with Billy Graham. And only in 2003 were we made known of it. When the news came out that Billy Graham was heard telling Richard Nixon, we've got to do something about those Jews. The Bible informs us that in the book of Luke, chapter 22, that there was a a certain thing going on amongst the disciples. They were jockeying for position. Their egos had gotten the best of them, Sister Childs, and they wanted to know which one of them would be the greatest. They were fighting for position, and in the midst of this, Jesus said, "Look, my brothers, the Romans exercise authority one over another, but it shall not be so among you. You are not to fight for position. You are not to look to lord over your brothers, for he that would be the greatest, let him be the servant." If you want to be great, if you have an ambition and a desire to be great, then you must seek to serve. You must seek not to be seen, but to lift other people up. I know we say amen, but I know when the sermon is finished and when the meetings are called and when positions are open and offices are desired, I know what kind of personalities and characteristics come out in us. I do knows us. Because eyes be one of yous. We like power. And if Mayfair isn't careful, there is a underlying, undergirding thing that will fester and eat at the heart of Mayfair. And it is the issue of greatness. It is the issue of not putting your brother up higher than yourself. It's always seeing things your way. Always wanting it your way. Has to be do it your way. In Mayfair, we must be careful. Because the same danger that faced the disciples faces us. And in the midst of Jesus' warning to them, Michael, he turns to Peter and he says, "Simon, Simon," called him twice. He doesn't call him Peter, and we're going to talk about that just a little bit. Can't spend as much time in this sermon as I want to. He says, "Simon, Simon, Satan has asked for you. You are busy arguing and positioning yourself against your brothers, or you're trying to line yourself up. You're trying to network with your comrades. You're trying to position yourself. But I want you to know that there's a conversation, Vicky, that went on between God and Satan about you." That's too deep for me, Sister Williams, to understand that God and Satan has conversations. Have you thought about that? That Satan converses with God about you? I want her. Can I have her? I want him. Well, let me. Okay, you can have. Don't touch it. Don't touch his life. But what if the Lord says you can wipe out his children? Sounds familiar to you? That God and Satan have conversations about us. Simon, Satan has asked for you. He's asked permission to get you. Well, that's a blessing right there. He has to ask for permission. Wait a minute now. Ellen White says in books, Thoughts from the Mind of Blessing, you and I have no reason to be concerned. You and I have no reason to fear. You and I have no reason to have an attitude with anybody. Because whatever happens to us, if we are a child of God, has been already permitted by God. If you are a child of God and something happens in your life, to your life, for your life, by your life, if you are a child of God, it has been already determined and permitted that you and I can handle it. Satan has asked for you that he may sift you as wheat. I don't have the time to go into the sifting process. You know, little old wheat never bothered anybody, Sister Smith. Just growing out there in the field, breeze blowing. Nice stalk of wheat growing up. And all of a sudden it hears a rumble. Big old combine comes and cuts it down. Then it's gathered up in a bundle, Parker. And it's sieved and it's shafted and it's stripped. Wheat ain't bother nobody. Then after it's cut down, it's put in a process oven so that it can be separated. Then its nutrients is stripped away. Then it's poured in a bag and put on the supermarket shelf where you come and buy it. One thing after another, the wheat goes through. Satan has asked for you that he may sift you as wheat, but I have prayed. Oh, do you know Jesus prays for you? Next year, we're going to preach a sermon, When Jesus Prays. When Jesus prays, but I have prayed for you, Kalia, that your faith fails not. And so God gives an insight into what the devil does or seeks to do. He tries to uproot your faith. That your faith fail not. It's interesting that after Jesus tells Peter about this discussion between God and Satan, that you don't see Satan again. You don't hear about him again. And so I want you to understand that when things happen in your life, it's God or Satan moving. But you'll never see it. You see, when we now look at the encounters of Peter after Jesus tells him this, you don't see Satan. Jesus, they come and get him in Gethsemane. They come and take him, and all of the disciples scatter. And what's in Peter's mind is that he told Jesus, look, all of these other disciples, they sorry brothers. They sorry, Sister Grounds. You know, Jesus, look at here, man. You know, you can't trust John and you can't trust James, because you know why? Because they went and, you know, they went and dissed me. They went and told their mama to come and let them sit on your right, and they didn't hook me up with it. Jesus, you can't trust James and John. You can't trust Thomas. He's always doubting. You can't trust Philip. Even my brother Andrew is kind of shaky. But Jesus, I'm letting you know that you can count on me. I'm ready to go to prison with you. I'm ready, forget prison, I'm ready to die for you. Let a man that thinketh he stand take heed, lest he fall. Peter saw in Garden of Gethsemane that whole, that crowd, and sure enough, to Peter's word, watch this now, to Peter's word, he had his sword ready. I don't know where he hid it. You know, they just finished having communion. Wait a minute. Jesus just washed his feet. Just told him, let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. And they leave. And they go to the garden. Where in the world did Peter hide that sword? Did he have it in a bush somewhere? Did he have it under his robe? But Peter was serious about protecting Jesus. And he was so serious that when they came for him, he took his sword and he was going for the brother's head. He had no problem decapitating a brother. And it was only because of the light that the young man saw and ducked, and Peter just got his hair. And Jesus said, "Peter, man, put up your sword." Picked up the guy's hair, dusted it off, said, "Come here, man. Do you hear me now?" "Yeah." "Good. Good. But Peter didn't know what to do without his sword. Jesus said, "Put up your sword, Peter." And they took Jesus, and the Bible says Peter followed from afar off. Here begins the process of Peter's decline. Satan sets up circumstances that we are not prepared for. You see, we can have one thing in our mind, and as soon as it doesn't go the way we think it should in our minds, it disrupts us. Am I talking to somebody? It befuddles us. It confuses us. It discombobulates us. It messes us up. As soon as what we have in our mind that we think should be, it doesn't happen, Satan begins to work on us. You don't see it. You don't even think about Satan when you're going through your stuff. Huh? You don't. No, you don't. Peter begins to follow him afar off, from a distance. First mistake. Before he wants to be next to Jesus. Before he's willing to be side by side. But now, hey, you know, Jesus in a mess. He's still my boy. So I'll just watch to see what's going on, Sister Purcell. You know, just make sure, you know, Jesus is okay. A young lady says, "Hey, you, what's up? You look familiar. Aren't you one of, you know, they just took this man in who claimed to be the son. Aren't you one of his..." Baby girl, your mama needs to take you to ophthalmologist. "No, you have the wrong one. It's not me." And he leaves and moves to another place because he can't hang around her too long, because she'll scrutinize him. And servant of the Lord says that the young girl followed him. And Peter moves to another place. And then a man says, "Hey, wait a minute, you're one of them. Hey man, if I was, I would tell you. But it's not me." Another one says, he says, "Man, blinkity, blink, 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 I told you it's not me." We don't understand that it is those situations and circumstances that Satan uses. You don't read about Satan tempting that girl to go to Peter and say it's him. You don't read about Satan tempting that those men to go to Peter and say it's him. No, but Satan knows Peter better than Peter knows Peter. And all he has to do is put you in a circumstance to show you who you really are. I always told you, when it comes to our sins, Satan never has to lie. It's the only time he tells the truth. Now, Lord, you remember what Peter did. Now watch. Peter says, I don't know him. Eloy, how could Peter say that? How could Peter say, I don't know you? With all Jesus did for him. You remember when Peter was, they were in the boat, and Peter said Jesus went walking to them on the sea in a storm, and Peter says, Lord, if it's you, let me come too. And Peter goes out of the boat in 55 billion gallons of water, and the first time a human being other than Jesus walks on water, you would think Peter remembered that. You would think that Peter would remember the one who changed his name. Thou art Simon, but you are no longer Simon. You will be called Peter, Cephas. You would think that he would remember. Peter was having a little rough time with his wife. You know, Peter was married, and Peter's mother-in-law got sick. And Jesus said, I'm going to help you out, Peter. And Jesus goes to the house and heals Peter's mother-in-law. Don't you think that Peter's wife felt a little better about him hanging out with Jesus? Huh? Peter, you haven't been fishing as much. Keep hanging out with this carpenter. Jesus smoothed it over, healing Peter's mother-in-law. How in the world could Peter forget Jesus? I don't know him. And every day we have an opportunity in our lives of declaring whether we know him or not. Every day in our circumstances we have an opportunity to declare whether we know him or not. For Jesus says, if you deny me before men, I will deny you before my Father. If you confess me before men, I will confess you before angels. Whatever you stand on, whatever you do, whatever you believe, it will be returned unto you. Peter, he doesn't call him Peter when he warns him. He says, Simon, Simon. That's his name from birth. That's the natural man. Follow me now, church. Simon is who he is naturally. And who you and I are naturally can never stand for God. The natural man is at enmity with God. The natural man, who you are in the flesh, your personality, how you see things, how you like things, how you think things should be, is at enmity with God. Simon, Satan has desired to have you. He has asked for you. I want to make it clear that I'm not speaking to the person today who's never failed. If you have never failed in your life, this sermon is not for you. I'm not talking to the one who has never faltered. I'm conversing with the one who says happy Sabbath but has a tongue that can cut people up. Yeah. I'm speaking to the one who says in one breath, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And in another breath, he says, forget him, I'm going fishing. I not speaking to those of you who've been in the church so long that God has to come to you to ask your permission for what he can do. I'm not speaking to the one who you know, you prepare for Sabbath every week, your everything is right, your veggie links are all together. But I want to talk to those of you who are sometimes up, sometimes down. Those of you who go through hell during the week and have to muster up the right strength to be with the rest of us hypocrites on Sabbath. The ones who at the only minute you just finished singing in the choir and you find yourself at a bar Saturday night. Just want to talk to Simon for a minute. I just broke my cufflink. Guess I shouldn't bang on the desk. Simon. Simon is a person who has good intentions. Told you I can't preach this whole sermon. We've got to have communion. See, I'm not talking to Peter. I'm talking to Simon. The natural man. The inner man. The old man of sin. Simon. Simon. You're full of yourself. You're confident in yourself. You don't know that Satan has asked for you. See, you playing games pussyfooting around, but Satan is looking to take over. I can't do justice to the scene, Elder Smith. I have not come across a writer better than Ellen White when it comes to this scene. She says Peter is out in the courtyard and he is throwing profanity, justifying who he doesn't belong to. And in the same time, the procession of those people who are taking Jesus, who have been spitting in his face, covering his with a mask and hitting him upside the head, saying, "Who is it that hit you?" When all of that is finished, Jesus is being taken out. His eyes are puffy. One may be black and blue. His hair is matted. And as Jesus comes out, he hears, "Cock-a-doodle-doo." The very moment that Simon says, "I don't know him," cock-a-doodle-doo, and he turned, Sister Smith, and when he turned, his eyes locked with Jesus. You see, before you sin, you hear his voice. Before you sin, you hear, "Don't do it." Before you sin, you hear, "Don't go there." Before you sin, you hear, "Don't go with him." Before you sin, you say, "Don't sleep there." Before you sin, you hear God's voice. You hear mama's voice. You hear daddy's voice. God will put all the voices that he can to get your attention before you mess up. But after you mess up, all you hear is cock-a-doodle-doo. After you sin, you don't hear God's voice saying you shouldn't do it. You shouldn't have done it. All you hear is your guilt. All you hear is yourself, "Why did I do that?
Why did I go there? Why did I sleep with him? All you hear is cock-a-doodle-doo. After you sin. Because God is doing everything he can for you before. Peter looked at Jesus and Jesus looked at Peter. Ellen White says that Jesus had no condemnation in his face. Oh, I'm so glad Jesus isn't like us. You see, I've lived long enough. I've messed up enough to know that when someone messes up, their own guilt will kill them. When someone does wrong, their own guilt will taunt them and haunt them and eat them up. I don't need to come and put my foot on their neck. Now, if you don't know right from wrong, that's another story. She says Jesus had no condemnation in his look. But Peter left and wept bitterly. Bitterly. Gotta fast forward, turn to John. Quickly now, gotta end this. We're gonna have to visit this sermon again. John chapter 21. Beginning with verse 15. So when they had eaten breakfast, Jesus said to Simon Peter. Oh, I love the Bible. Jesus said to Simon Peter, Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me more than these? He said to him, yes, Lord. You know that I love you. He said to him, feed my lambs. Verse 16, he said to him again a second time, Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me? He said to him, yes, Lord, you know that I love you. He said to him, tend my sheep. He said to him a third time, Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me? Peter was grieved. Oh, my Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you, Jesus. Jesus said to him, then feed my sheep. Got to break this down. Got to wind up. The scene is a seashore. Jesus is standing there with breakfast already ready. The disciples had been fishing. Didn't catch anything. Yeah. Jesus sees them afar off. Hey, Lee, hey, you catch anything? No. Throw your net on the other side. Yeah. Watch this now. Because Jesus restores you the same way he first called you. Yeah. Amen. Oh, I'm preaching to myself now. I said Jesus restores you the same way he first called you. Yeah. In Luke chapter 5, the story is told of when Peter doubted Jesus and who he was. They had come from fishing. All night they were fishing and they didn't catch anything. And Jesus said, throw your net on the other side. Peter said, Jesus, you don't know what you're talking about. We've been fishing all night. And then as he followed Jesus' command, fish jumped into the net. And Peter knew then that Jesus was who he said he was. Now at the end, Jesus brings him full circle. He brings him back to the point where he first believed. He said, Simon, John said, is the Lord. Watch him. He dives out of the boat because his guilt is trying to make him impress Jesus. Listen to me. Folk come back to church and they do everything. They want to do this. They want to do that. They want to work in the church because they haven't overcome their guilt. Burning themselves out because they don't really believe Jesus has forgiven them. Seventh-day Adventists. Peter dives out, swims. Jesus gives them breakfast. He says, Simon Peter. Before he said, Simon, Simon, Satan. Now he says, Simon Peter. See, the issue is there are two men, there are two women in you. You see, there's Simon and there's Peter. There's Parker, and I don't know your heavenly name. Ow. I don't know the name God has for you, but whatever your name is, he says, Simon Peter. Who's gonna win? Who's gonna win? Who's gonna win? Lovest thou me? Lord, you know. You know I love you. Okay, Simon answered. So Jesus speaks to Simon. He's got an attitude. That's Simon. You know I love you. What you asking me that for? Yeah, I love you. Simon, son of Jonah. Oh, Lord. Jesus got to go into his heritage. Simon, I know who your daddy is. Son of Jonah. Lovest thou me? Jesus, man, I love you. Simon. Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me the second time? Lord, I said I love you. Simon, do you love me the third time? And Peter, look at it. Peter was grieved because Simon been answering all the time. Huh? Now Peter says, let me step in. Lord, you know me. You've been dealing with a lot with me, Lord. I love you the best that I can. All right, Peter. Oh, come on, play for me, Paul. I don't care if you don't like this or not. You see, there's a Simon and there's a Peter in all of us. And the devil wants Simon to win out. Simon? Simon. Satan has asked for you to sift you. He's going to take you through the mill. He's going to let something else happen to the house. He's going to not let you get a house. He's going to have them raise your rent. He's going to have them evict you. He's going to have your wife walk out on you. He's going to have your husband cheat on you. Simon, Satan has asked for you. He's going to turn your world upside down. But I have prayed for you. I sometimes get down on my knees and I picture Jesus going by himself to pray alone. And I see him praying for Peter, James, John, Bartholomew, Matthew, Levi, Thomas, Andrew, Lance, Do you see him praying for you? Her armor? Have you ever pictured Jesus on his knees calling your name out? No, no. You can't have him. Go ahead, turn his world upside down. Turn her world upside down. When thou art converted, strengthen the brethren. See, you can't strengthen none of us until you're converted. You can't help anyone in here until you're converted. Until you've returned to me. Until Simon goes down and Peter comes up. Well, Lord, you know, they ain't acting right in church. They full of mess. Simon. Simon. Lord, you know they should be doing better. Simon. Lord, but they know what we believe. Simon. Simon. Take a chill pill. I've got it covered, Simon. The church is my responsibility. I just want you to let Peter come out. I'm so thankful that the God I serve, another quote from Spirit of Prophecy, says that he sees our better nature. We all see the bad nature in one another. I've got news for you. It doesn't take a whole lot. Let's just hang with each other just for a day. And we all form opinions about each other. Sister Williams, you could sing beautifully. But if we hang together for a day, I'll see things about you I don't like. And you'll see things about me you don't like. That's Simon. That's Simon. Servant of the Lord says, he sees our better nature. You gotta look close. Oh yeah, something special about her. Oh, yeah. There's a better nature there. There's a better nature there that we can tap into. That when we get on our knees, the Lord taps into and arouses that better nature. Says, baby boy, you come up a little higher. And guilt wants to keep you down. Guilt wants to tell you, cock-a-doodle-doo. Every time you try to get up, cock-a-doodle-doo will remind you of what you did. Myra, she says another thing, that Jesus did it 3 times because he denied him 3 times. So he had to fully restore him. I'm thankful that this took place after communion. After he had his foot washed. After he took the Last Supper. Peter messed up. Some of us been taking communion many years. Only to mess up. And in some ways it has lost its significance for us. Because you know we just washing lotion feet. You know. Get down and wash people's feet today. They're nicely pedicured. Not dirty like they were in Bible times. Some people don't even come to church because they don't want anyone washing their feet. Communion? Oh, I'm going somewhere else. Someone came here today, didn't know it was communion. Lee said, "Dagnabbit! They caught me!" Cock-a-doodle-doo! Michael, because they don't realize this is the greatest service they can ever be in. That's how Satan has messed up the minds. It's not about the preacher. It's not about the singing. It's about Simon or Peter in each of us. And we've got to deal with that rascal of Simon every day of our lives. Jesus says, "I prayed for you." Sister Childs, and if Jesus prays for us, that should be enough. That should be enough. If you want to recognize that Jesus has prayed for you, because he's called you Simon, I want you to stand to your feet at this time. And I have to ask the Lord to forgive me. I've cut out so much in this sermon. But the issue is here. And it is plain that there's a Simon and there's a Peter in each of us. And today, God wants that better nature to win out. That forked tongue to come back together. That ability to cut people down to pick them up. That ability to see everything wrong to now declare, "It's me. It's me. It's me, oh Lord." Standing in the need of your prayer. Of your prayer. Pray for me, Lord. Pray for me. And at the end of this communion service, as you shake my hand, you're going to say, "Pastor, I need Bible study and I want baptism." That's what you're going to do. That's what you're going to do. I'm speaking to someone today. I'm speaking to some ones today. Amen. And like Peter trying to, like Simon trying to get it together yourself. Can't get it together yourself. You just gonna mess it up some more. Because that's what Simon is good at. So after I pray, Sister Holman, you're gonna leave the women out. Gonna wash each other's feet. And find somebody that you need to say sorry to. I said, wash the person's feet that you got a problem with. And don't do like we do. Girl, you know, I'm just kidding. You know we ain't have no problem. We all right. Come together. Come together. Because, church, Satan, let me say this, Satan is looking to undermine things here at Mayfair through attitudes, through personalities. And we need to see that this is a spiritual battle. And the inability to say, I'm sorry, the inability to say, okay, let's do it your way, the inability to do that will create tensions not only in our homes, but in our church. Say, Pastor, what's Pastor talking about? I'm talking about how Satan works. Right, PG? He works a certain way that you never see him. He'll mess you up and he'll stand back laughing. The women are going to follow Sister Holman. The men are going to follow Elder Smith.
The nurseries for the mothers and the small children.
The nursery down the corridor to the right is for mothers and small children. Here, Seventh-day Adventist Church, we practice open communion. If you are a believer in Christ, even if you are not a member of this church, you can fellowship and partake if you believe in the blood and the body of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, that his death atones for our sins and his resurrection, that he mediates on our behalf. We welcome you to sit at the King's table today. Let us pray. Our Father and our God, bless now this next portion of our service as we are simply doing what you have invited us and asked us to do. May Simon decrease and may Peter increase. May the cock-a-doodle-doos in our ears not be as loud, but may we begin to hear your voice whispering to us once again, you are my child and I love you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.